Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
You do realize that a third is larger than a fourth.
Yeah, that's what I was just... Yeah.
Cinnamon gum, sir.
Well, I would say cinnamon gum, but he's running late.
No, sir. Mr. Perry, it's cinnamon gum.
Cinnamon gum. Mr. Mackey is right around the corner, so Dan, if you would be so super kind.
I'll go down there.
And let him in.
I'll go down both flights of stairs.
Did he bring me a coffee? Yeah. I could use one.
Did you ask him for one?
No. Sometimes he just does that because he knows me so well.
He was just getting done with an interview that ran late, so I don't think he had time to stop at
Did he go national and we're just like getting the crumbs that are left over?
Well, we got the 5 o'clock slot, so I think we're doing okay.
He wanted to give us a third of the coverage, but instead he decided to give us a fourth.
Yeah, so he's going to give us more. He's going to give us a fourth right. Instead of a third. And
Got it. And
we're happy to take the
extra.
The added,
yeah, of course,
the added time.
Got it.
Hurricane Kiko has weakened further as it's churning on a path just north of Hawaii, staying clear of the islands, but still threatening the islands with possible life-threatening surf and rip currents.
Okay.
It was downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane with sustained winds of 85 miles per hour as of 11 o'clock this morning. Located 410 miles east of Hilo and was moving west-northwest at 15 miles per hour.
There is a documentary, and forgive me because I cannot think of the name of it off of the top of my head, about the Lahaina disaster, and it has – everybody had cell phones, right?
Yeah.
It has so much footage from inside the flames.
Oh, no way.
Wild.
Huh.
Absolutely insane. There was a guy who had lived there his entire life who swam like 2 miles or something to get to a part of the island that wasn't burning to go back to shore to get help.
Wow.
Now that's a survivalist.
Did I see that there's a Charlie Sheen documentary coming out?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, the documentary no one ever knew we needed or wanted.
Is it called Tiger Blood?
Is it true he is claiming he had a sex addiction?
Yes, he, I did read that story.
As if we all didn't know.
At the height of his substance abuse issues, he claimed he was also addicted to sex. Yes.
That is an addiction you struggle to acknowledge, correct?
What do you mean?
Or in the same category, because we've talked about this, like gambling as an addiction or shopping as an addiction or sex as an addiction are different than like physical, chemically based addictions.
I do not believe that you can become addicted to any of the three things that you just mentioned.
Gambling?
No.
Oh man, I do. People lose their houses, so why would you lose your house? Sex addiction is a lot harder for me because I feel like people use that to just blame bad behavior on that.
Well, wouldn't you say losing your house to gambling is bad behavior?
But neurologically, it's all the same.
Neurologically, it's the same place in your brain that lights up. With a sex addiction, I mean, are you getting that dopamine released? Absolutely.
If you're not, you're doing it wrong.
But
okay.
I don't know why, of all the addictions, that's the one I struggle with. When you are already famous, I guess you don't have to be famous to have a sex addiction, but when Tiger Woods said, I have a sex addiction. No,
did
I think
you really
you just,
believe that?
I think you just cheated on your wife and you got caught.
Yeah.
And you needed to go away for a while.
You started to buy your own press.
Yes.
And you thought, I'm Tiger Woods.
Yes.
I can have sex with anybody I want to.
Yes. But is that an addiction?
No, I think
gambling to me is an addiction.
See, I think gambling's a compulsion.
Can be. Okay.
Well, see, but are we talking about addiction as the neurological habit forming thing or our body's inability to function without such? And you could make the argument that both are one and the same.
I understand, but I know some people are just going to lose their minds when I say what I'm about to say.
For some reason, chemical addictions are seen as higher than...
Yeah, if we're going to do a hierarchy of addictions.
I think for it to qualify as an addiction, there has to be a substance involved.
Food?
Well...
And food is a tough one, Scott, because you can live without alcohol. You can live without gambling. Mm-hmm. You can't live without eating.
That is true.
You have to eat.
We'll get with you in the second segment.
Do not open that book. Do not read it.
All right. We'll
when
not.
You say 5 o'clock, I thought you meant 5 o'clock. I'll see you in a minute.
I'm just saying if we were going to rank addictions, you would put hard drugs and alcohol up here.
Nicotine would definitely be up there
as well. Nicotine would be up there.
Yeah.
Would sugar, because I think all Americans are addicted to sugar. We don't even know it.
It's possible. Is there an addictive component in sugar?
I think mice would say yes if they could talk.
Okay.
Because they've studied them.
But see, when I get the dopamine release, and you know, yeah. People say when they're at the casino, they hear the ding, 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 and it releases dopamine in their brain. But if sex was addictive, right?
Yeah.
Just because of the dopamine release that we all get from it.
Yep.
Then why isn't everybody addicted to sex?
I don't know. That's why I struggle with that specific addiction.
That's why I think the word compulsion is probably a little bit more accurate. Now, you'll get a million people who are in the... psychiatry business,
yeah.
who would say, Scott, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. And maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. But if shopping was addictive because of the dopamine release that you get in your brain,
okay.
Why am I not addicted to shopping?
Let me ask you about this one. Stealing. Look at the kleptomaniac. Look at the woman in Overland Park who could not stop stealing to mm-hmm. the point that the courts tried and tried and tried.
Yeah.
To give her probation, like, let's please stop going anywhere near the 95th Street corridor, lady. And she, every single time she would get out, she would go right back into a store and steal. Is that an addiction, a compulsion, or just bad criminal behavior?
I think it is a mental illness.
Okay.
Wouldn't you argue that the inability to put down alcohol is a mental illness as well?
It is certainly mentally based.
I think that there's certainly a mental component involved there. But there's also the addictive component that is alcohol. Like nicotine is an addictive substance. Shopping is not an addictive substance. Sex is not an addictive substance.
But the inability to function isn't the drive of drinking copious amounts of alcohol. It's the...
Repeat that again?
The inability to function, which is the result of drinking copious amounts of alcohol...
Yeah, I'm aware.
...is not the drive of drinking copious amounts of alcohol.
No.
It's to quiet the squirrel in the brain, which is mental.
For some.
In the beginning, yes. And I speak with a little bit of experience here. In the beginning, yes, you're trying to silence the squirrel in the cage.
Yeah.
But at some point, you become physically addicted to the actual alcohol itself.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, once your body gets used to taking in that much sugar and
And that's what I was talking about, Scott, when I said the actual physical chemical addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There is a substance involved, whereas with a quote sex addiction, there's not. You don't have to have that to live the way you have to have food to live, and you don't mm-hmm. have to shoplift, and you don't have to gamble, and you don't have to have vodka or all of those things.
No, but when you're addicted to a substance, it's almost, and anybody out there who's in recovery knows that I'm speaking the truth. You can't live with it, and you cannot live without it.
Yeah, there's physical withdrawal.
Yes.
And if you said to a shoplifter, stop shoplifting, like the court says, you need to stop stealing things.
Right.
You wouldn't physically withdraw from that in the way, I don't think, that you would. You have physical withdrawals from nicotine or alcohol.
All right, quick break. When we get back, as of tomorrow, he is a local author. His book is in my hand right now. You Have 4 Minutes by Michael Mackey. And we will read the chapter Radio Gaga when we return here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time, people. It's time. It's the sacredest of most sacred songs. It's time for Cinnamon Gum. All together now. Cinnamon Gum!
I can't do this.
Once more with feeling for those in the back. Cinnamon Gum!
You have ruined this song for me, and I love you so much, but you've ruined this song for me. It's like
magic.
That one song in junior high, and you liked that boy, and he wouldn't dance with you, and every time it comes on the radio at age 51, you still feel like...
What song is that?
Curling up in a ball. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm just saying, if there was that scenario...
I feel like it's something by Journey. Again, another Steve Perry song.
How are you?
I'm super. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I'm late.
I'm so glad to have your book in my hands.
My book is in your hands. My book that has been gestating for 5 years.
This has some meat to it too, Michael.
I'm about to give birth tomorrow, you guys.
This is not a pamphlet. And my dad just texted me, your mother would like a signed copy.
Done. Sold. Fine. Whatever
fine.
Big Juicy wants, Big Juicy gets. Yes. It's Big Juicy's world. We're just living in it.
That's correct. How it took you 5 years to write this?
5 years. I started in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic because I had nothing else to do.
Well, there are a lot of chapters in this thing.
There are 52 chapters. Why?
Why? Because of the B-52s. I knew it.
Okay.
I knew it.
And did you see who wrote the foreword? The one and only Cindy Wilson.
You got so many celebrities to shout you out on this.
I know.
Bridget Everett, one of my favorite actresses and comedians of all time. Kathy Griffin. Anna Gasteyer of SNL fame. Helen Hunt. How did you get Helen Hunt to say, I'm sure it's fabulous.
Wow.
The Sarah Silverman quote's pretty good.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Thank you. Again, labor of love.
Oh, your labor. Mom and dad would be so proud, Michael. I'm so proud of you.
The book is dedicated to them.
Yeah.
Because they were my biggest champions.
To the Bevanator?
Do not. Yes, Bob and the Bevanator Mackey, do not make me cry because that's.
I won't. Now, are we reading an excerpt here today?
No, you are doing a dramatic interpretation complete with dance. It is a shorter chapter, and the chapter in question is called Radio Gaga. And there are four of you with four books, and so I'm going to need all four of you to chime in at some point.
Fine.
Who wants to start?
I will.
Okay. All right.
We are on page 175, specifically chapter 35.
Of my new book, you have 4 minutes.
Go.
Radio Gaga.
Do you want me to sing it in a British accent or just normal?
Chef's choice.
Okay. 10 years ago, I was asked to pinch hit on a local radio talk show called Dana and Parks. I was besties with co-host Dana Wright, and I figured if she could yammer on about everything and nothing at all at the same time, so could I. How hard could it possibly be? Turns out, you write, talk radio is impossibly difficult. You have to be forever nimble, razor sharp, up to date on current events, and able to weave in and out of topics effortlessly. 10 years ago, those things were not my forte.
Scott.
One infamous day when Dana was off, her cantankerous co-host Scott Parks inexplicably asked me to fill in. I'm guessing he was desperate. He thought I was goofy and a bit dim, thus an obvious choice to fill in for Dana, a seasoned journalist and complete dingbat. 10 years ago, the show was an up-and-coming success story. From day one, it was an intoxicating blend of pop culture, water cooler fare, and local newsy stories that typically had folks in a dither. Then the show took off. We're talking stratospheric ratings. The weirdly chaotic chemistry and ping-pong banter between Dana and Parks was infectious. Everyone religiously started tuning in. Talk about birds of a feather. She's like a lunatic magpie, chatting away and cackling. And he's like a crabby Sam Eagle from the Muppets, keenly aware, astute, and not going to take crap from anyone.
Sam.
Thus, when Parks foolishly asked me to sub for Dana, I was immediately intimidated. Quote, I'm not intimidating, Parks yelled at me.
I'm not intimidating.
There we go.
Okay. Missed that cue there, but it's fine.
When I announced my hesitation during my initial appearance on the show, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I stammered, I stuttered, but a complete sentence was not in the cards. After approximately 20 minutes of me meekly talking into a microphone, Scott lambasted me during the show's first commercial break.
Look, Mackie, I brought you in here to talk, and you've done anything but. So chime in or else, I mean it, either start talking or get out.
Oh, wow.
Lord, I still have latent trauma from that day.
Dan.
I was so enraged, I nearly beat him to death with his microphone. We've been best friends ever since. Needless to say, I found my voice, and I've been filling in intermittently, subbing for one or the other ever since. The question I'm most asked about the two, are they the same in real life as they are on the air? The answer is a resounding yes.
Dana.
He is endearingly cranky. My ride-or-die bestie Dana, meanwhile, is a whip-smart dolt. Want to know how popular the show is? I'm getting that on a t-shirt, by the way. Whip-smart dolt.
Yes.
When I co-hosted Kansas City Live for 2 years, I rarely, if ever, got recognized. This speaks to that show's less than stellar viewership. Ever since I started filling in on Dana and Parks, I can't go anywhere without people recognizing me by my voice. Just last week, it happened during an Uber ride. And the week before that, a clerk at Hen House nearly lost her mind when I asked where to find gluten-free bread. Oh my God, you're Michael Mackey, she yelled to everyone within earshot. I know you. Keep in mind, I'm on the show once every 6 weeks or so for a couple of hours.
That, my friends, is the power of radio. The beauty of being on the show is that I can chime in with pithy bon mots when warranted. For the most part, though, I just soak in what's being said. Listeners call in with their 2 cents worth and unmitigated opinions, as they should. It is their show, after all. I'm just a mere pawn in the game. Filling in has helped raise my profile a thousandfold. A running gag on the show is that Dana has 36 weeks of vacation a year. That's not true. It's only 22.
The rules of radio are pretty much the same as TV. You can't swear, you can't black out, and you can't fart. It's a small studio. Also, I quickly learned that in radio, my opinion is always wrong. I once had a caller vehemently argue that thin crust pizza should be banned for 3 solid minutes.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
At one point, Parks got up and left the studio, got a bottle of water from the vending machine. She was still on her tirade when he got back. I think he did it to spite me. Also, he didn't bring me back a chilled water.
Bastard.
Dan?
Speaking of, the stories that callers chime in with are a weirdly aligned slice of life subsection of the metro, including the city's outskirts. For some reason, I'm big with truckers. Whenever I'm on the air, they will often text in.
It's true.
It's a bit worrisome, as I hope they're not driving and texting. And they always introduce themselves on the text line as truckers, too. Here's a typical message. This is Dwayne. I'm a trucker. Your gay ass makes me laugh, Mackie.
Naturally, he writes, I wrote this chapter because I knew they'd read it on the air. You can't pay for that sort of shameless promotion. The only thing I left out was when I accidentally saw Parks naked in a snowstorm outside of a wedding reception. Maybe I will include that story in my second book. Parks will be the first to say, you always got to leave them wanting more, Mackie. And that is chapter 35.
I love it, man.
You guys always
got to leave them wanting more.
You guys are in print.
I love it so much.
I am so happy for you.
That was the easiest chapter to write, full stop.
Oh, I bet it was. How many celebrities are in there if you had to count them?
Oh, easily 100.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 11 Academy Award winners just off the bat. I don't want to drop names.
Do you find as you get older, you are less interested in the new people that grace the pages of like People magazine or the VMAs came out today?
Could not possibly care less.
I could not. In fact, we read off some of the winners.
I don't even know who they are.
It does. And I've never been a big, you know, like Entertainment Weekly magazine kind of reader. But you know this, Michael, as we age, we're starting to lose people in life that we are fans of. Hello Supertramp lead singer today.
Womp womp.
And we are starting to lose interest in those who come up that are in their 20s.
I could care.
But you're still doing it because there's still plenty of people to interview who are interesting that remember Ronald Reagan.
Do you know my gosh, there are color photos in this thing.
Yes, Dan, for people who don't read. There's a, yes, it's yes. If you are illiterate, this book could be for you too.
Why is it 4 minutes? Why not five?
Because that's
why are they so specific? You and I, you have 4 minutes.
You have 4 minutes.
You and I both know, Dana, that when you are interviewing a celebrity, they literally go, You have four minutes. And then the stopwatch starts. And then when the stopwatch ends, your interview ends. Not five, four.
Yeah.
And like, how long did you get with Michelle Obama?
Well, this is the power of Dana.
Oh.
I was supposed to have
four minutes.
I think we got 23.
Oh, lucky you.
And I did not ask for a photo. And do you know why? I could not care less about politics. I said, what do you miss the most about your life? And she said, buying toilet paper at Target.
Oh, Michelle Obama. Oh,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what the best chapter is in the entire book? Other than yours?
Will you push pause for a second?
Sure.
Okay, because I have a couple more questions I'd like to ask you.
Game on.
Michael Mackey, the author, as of tomorrow.
God, that sounds good. Say that again, please.
Author Michael Mackey.
Oh, good.
Continues with us in just a moment.
After we take a break, you have four minutes.
So I'm going through your book here, Mr. Mackey.
Yes, sir.
And chapter 19.
Yes.
Is fascinating. The title is The Dice Man Sucketh, and it is about your interview with Andrew Dice Clay. It did not go well.
He was awful to you, I don't like people that are mean to you.
He lives in infamy. He's one of the worst, not the worst, but one of the worst. He was mean, and he would rather have done anything. He would have literally rather have done anything else but talk to me.
Your first question was, how excited are you to get back on the road? And he lit into you for just asking that simple question.
We are 4 seconds into the interview, and he's already swearing at me. He was so mean. And so then I was like, okay.
You're like, you don't want to be here, neither do I. Let's just pretend and get through this.
I don't want to play in your reindeer games, but you know what? I'm going to do it. And I wrote that in the actual article itself about what an awful human being he was.
So their handlers handle them. They get paid bajillions of dollars to do what they do. And then, for the most part, explain this to people, they are forced to do some press if there is something of import coming up, like a movie release that they don't think is going to do well.
Look at any interview that Tommy Lee Jones has done, and he absolutely, positively is only doing it because he's contractually obligated.
Obligated to do it. So you have said this about Tommy Lee Jones. He is one of my favorite actors of all time.
I still have PTSD because that's how bad the interview
was. That's how bad it was.
Yes.
I now am on a tear and mission to interview him to make him like me because I want to say that, like, he wasn't that bad for me, but I know he would be.
I was the first interview out of the gate. I was 8 a.m.
Okay.
on a Saturday morning. And I thought, oh, he's going to be frosty and
fresh.
I mean, he's fresh. Yes.
Angry Tommy Lee.
We had 4 minutes, and I think I maybe got 2 dozen words out of him. Maybe more if you count as two.
Do you remember what the film was, what the project was?
It was not collateral damage.
It wasn't No Country for Old Men, was it?
Something like Friendly Fire. I can't remember the...
Yeah, so probably one of the ones that wasn't a big blockbuster.
No, Samuel L. Jackson was much nicer. He was in it.
And they knew, like, you know, you have to do this.
It was so bad that people, literally other reviewers, would say something like, well, was it as bad as Mackey's 2000 interview with Tommy Lee Jones? I hope you didn't. I became a verb.
It's referenced.
Did you Mackey that? That sounds like you Mackeyed that.
Rules of engagement.
Rules of engagement.
That was the movie.
Rules of engagement. And his rule was none. I'm not going to engage with you on any level.
His rule was to be a crabby grumble pants at 8 a.m. And I couldn't wait for that 4 minutes to get over with. I brought it back, and Brenda Poore, who we both know, was the assignment editor at the time, and she watched the interview, and she goes,
oh, God.
She goes, I'm literally watching a human being implode on camera. That's you.
Did it ever make it to air?
No. None of this is usable. And I was like,
none of this is usable.
A movie studio flew me, Michael Mackey, from Kansas City all the way across the country to Los Angeles.
To do that.
And to
for
not
an interview that you couldn't use.
Yes, pretty much.
Why did I think that was in a toolbox? You physically were there with Tommy Lee Jones
and his crater crunk, his curmudgeon-y crater. Yes, wrinkly.
Ugh, yeah,
he's the worst. Still PTSD.
So when he comes out with a new movie, you are not the first in line to buy a ticket.
Negative
to see that
Ghost
film.
Writer. No, Tommy. No.
Best interview.
Best. Probably the unexpected, well, Lindsay Wagner for sure, because, you know, I grew up watching The Bionic Woman and I Am a Boy of a Certain Age, and I was obsessed with her and she could not have been nicer. But for a brief hot minute, I was in, this was like literally 2001, I was only interviewing actresses named Jennifer, Jennifer Connelly, Jennifer Garner, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez. So I thought J-Lo was going to be this big diva because she had the number one album in the country and I think the number two movie. She was
fabulous.
She was J-Lo. She was Jenny from the Block. Used to have a little, now she got a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was so kind and gracious. And so was Jennifer Aniston. And I tell all those stories and more in my new book.
In your new book.
You Have 4 Minutes.
Man, who's been working with you?
Nobody.
Do you, my goal, my
law. Every time somebody writes a book, they would say, well, you know, in my book.
In,
I mentioned this.
You may have
time,
read. You may have
Jennifer
read
in my book.
In my book. So, yeah, I interview a slew. There are several chapters on 80s hair bands. You'll appreciate that, Scott.
I saw Bret Michaels is in here.
Yeah, Bret Michaels is in there. 11 Academy Award winners. What?
11.
Not 10. Not 9.
Lindsay Wagner gets a lot more pages than we did.
She was her face. Well, I mean, you know, what more are you going to say about two ding-a-lings on the radio?
Yeah.
That's an entire separate book in and of itself.
Well, what more can you say that you want said?
So where would one find the book if one wanted to find the book?
Said book is in bookstores starting tomorrow. So at your local bookstore.
Oh, we will all go take selfies with your book.
Are you going to Barnes & Noble tomorrow just to make sure it's there?
Totes.
Okay.
And here's where it gets good. I'm at several of the bookstores in the Kansas City International Airport.
No!
Yes!
Oh,
and
really?
All these little chapters are all like little snippy. I mean, they're chapters that you could read while you're disposed.
Yes.
Indisposable.
So.
Or on a plane. You could literally do the whole thing
I'm
on
so
it.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy for
too.
Me too.
I, you know, very few people have written something and got it published. You know, I have so many people who are like, I want to start a podcast or I want to write a book. And you're like, ah, okay. It's so hard to make this go.
You guys are holding it in your hands and that brings me so much joy right
now.
It's a physical
thing.
It's a whole thing.
All right, we are going to ask our listeners to do something funny tomorrow. I want you, if you happen to be by a bookstore, to send us your selfies tomorrow or post it on my...
With Michael's book?
KMBZ page with Michael's book. We'll
on
do it like we did on Scott's
out.
Birthday.
Well,
yeah, on your way to check out.
Yes. On your way yes. to
please
check
don't,
out.
Please don't lift it. You have 4 minutes. Ma'am, the sensors are going off.
Get beep, back here. Beep,
beep. Have you started on a second?
No, let's just... this one took 5 years. This one took a village. I am done for a hot minute. I am done.
Yeah.
Now the hard part starts. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
I'm going to promote this for the rest of my life. And as of tomorrow, I can say, Michael Mackey...
Author. I love it so much.
So how does this work? Do you get paid up for, I don't want to talk about exact dollar.
Yeah, but
amount.
How does it work?
Yeah, how does being an author work? Do you get paid up front or do you get paid based on sales?
Both. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. So I had to purchase a chunk of books for myself. And then, you know, I will obviously make money selling those. But I mean, like the publisher took a big risk. Ascend Books took a big risk on me because I was an untapped, you know, I've never published
anything.
Well,
I would say you're untapped.
Well, you know what I'm saying. But the reason why I got the book deal in the first place is, do you remember last year, right this very second, when I had my travel show, Get Lost?
Yes!
Which was one and done.
It was
one very gripping episode.
We didn't
riveting.
Get, let's just
will.
Say we didn't get past the pilot.
We did not get past the pilot. It it burned brightly and then it flamed out. It supernovaed.
Yeah.
And got lost.
It got lost. And then, but I had probably sent out I had probably gotten 30 rejection letters by that point. 30.
On the
like
book. You
like,
didn't even tell me when you were writing it, you were writing it.
I didn't tell anybody because I wanted to have a book deal before I said, anyway, long story short, after
30 book companies told you to get lost.
Oh, just totally. And like, not just like, don't contact us again. Don't call us. We won't call you. And and then
our people will not call your people.
And then when Get Lost sort of propelled me back into the spotlight for the one and only episode that it was on. One and done. Publishers publishing, several publishing houses called me and they were like, do you, this is a weird question, but do you have your own TV show? And here's me. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, of course, doesn't everyone? Stupid. So Get Lost, of which there is a chapter in the book on called Get Lost, Got
it's,
Lost.
It's a very, very short chapter.
It's a very short chapter. But that show got like, me two, the book deal. Words. That show got me the book deal.
This is why you look at something as a window closing and a door opening.
Yes,
or the
ma'am.
Door closing and the window opening. Yeah, that's why you do that.
And if this book deal, if this book does not get me an interview with the one person who I have not interviewed yet, I will eat my hat.
You Her know, name is Dolly Parton.
This,
oh,
you know that Dolly is the zenith, the
yes.
pinnacle. She
yes.
is at the nadir of my.
Yes.
So. Dolly, if you're listening, and I know that you probably are.
Put it out into the universe.
Also, I also want to redo a Sarah McLachlan because that was the worst interview I ever did.
You what? Can just, redo Sarah.
I can redo Sarah.
Yeah, I'm sure she would be down with that.
Why was it so
I
bad?
I just choked.
Now you have to email her and say, look, I'm a published author. Did I mention I'm an author? And I would like to take another crack at Sarah McLachlan.
Also, there's a whole chapter about Sarah McLachlan and how awful that interview was. It's you might find that in my book.
Okay.
You have 4 minutes.
What's the name of the book?
It's called You Have 4 Minutes. Okay. My Life as an Unlikely Celebrity Interviewer.
How many times have you read your own book?
All of the times.
Yes.
I'm reading it right now while I'm talking to you.
Yes.
And I'm chuckling to myself. Oh, chapter 40.
Do you sleep in bed with your book?
I totally do. It's under, I have a copy under my pillow.
Just in case you wake up at 3 a.m.
I know, and be like, oh, this chapter.
Remember that time I wrote a book? And
you
it got
might
published?
Remember me from such books as You Have 4 Minutes.
You're so funny. Well, all right. It is out tomorrow. You can get it at Amazon. You can go to any of the local bookstores.
There's a big book signing going to be on Sunday, October 5th.
I will be there.
At District Poorhouse. Deets to follow. But okay. I'm announcing that. No one knows. That's brand new.
Is there
material.
Going to be a red velvet rope?
Yes.
Okay,
I
please.
Mean, well, it's going to be rainbow colored. But okay. Yeah, but
when's the book signing?
It is Sunday, October 5th at District
yes.
Poorhouse
I already
in
have it
Shawnee.
In here. 1 to 4 p.m. I will be there.
And,
oh, that's the place downtown.
Yeah. No, it's Shawnee. It's
in downtown Shawnee?
Yeah, downtown Shawnee.
Yeah.
Not Western Shawnee, but downtown.
No, it's downtown.
Downtown Shawnee. So I'll put that out here when it gets announced.
Well, we're super excited for you.
I love you both.
Congratulations.
Your chapter's my favorite, and thank you for reading it with
you
an
You are my
dance.
Favorite. Get your hands on a copy.
Always leave them wanting more.
Always leave them
right
wanting
now.
Always leave them wanting more.
All right, Michael Mackey, as of tomorrow, published author.
Oh, say it again.
His new book, You Have 4 Minutes. You can find it on Amazon or at your local bookstore.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good for Mr. Mackey. I'm very excited for him. I was just telling Dana during the break, I wish I had the patience and the willpower to sit down and write a book. The stories I could tell.
And the skin for everyone to call you and say, no. Or wait, they didn't even call him when he said, don't call us and we won't call you.
30 rejection
30
letters.
Rejections. But one of the biggest... books on the New York Times bestsellers list, was it 2 or 3 years ago, Lessons in Chemistry? That author will tell you she was rejected mm-hmm. her entire life. And then when Lessons in Chemistry hit, it hit later in life for her. It changed her entire life. It ended up being a movie. And she was the queen of the rejection letter. She was not only told no, but hell no, you're terrible, stop writing. And then ended up with one of the most successful books mm-hmm. in the last 5 years. So I'm so happy for him because it really, really is hard to do.
And he's giddy.
Oh, he's, yeah.
He is over the moon.
Scott, during the break, Sammy goes, do you sleep with your book? And Michael goes, maybe.
All night long.
Wakes up. Remember that one time I wrote chapter three?
I think I'll read chapter three now.
I mean, I've got time for chapter four, too.
Exciting local Northern Johnson County news. We now know what is going to go in the abandoned site that is the Old Lady Macy's. And I'm sorry, but I've always called it that. And so do women. It's the Old Lady Macy's. The one in Prairie Village.
Behind the house. Has
been vacant for years. I mean, not Gateway, you know, project vacant, but no, it's been vacant for years.
Yeah.
This huge, cool outdoor concept brewery is going in called Big Grove Brewery. It'll be mixed use, but it shows green space, families outside, fire pits.
Think Lenexa City Center, maybe?
It's based in Iowa. Think Lenexa City Center, sort of like that. And also Hen House. Hen House is also going to move into a bigger space there.
They're getting two floors.
But that thing at 71st and Mission Road has been, when I read it was vacant, is it 10 years?
No, it can't be that long.
It's been a crazy long
amount
of time.
Because I remember when One Direction was like Sarah's, you know, big thing. They had a perfume, One Direction did, and I bought it at the Macy's in Prairie Village.
Yeah. A lot of elastic waistband pants in light blue and mauve.
Tell me more.
Will open in the fall of 2027. That is such a premier location. 80,000 square feet of restaurant and retail space.
Apparently, Britney Spears is struggling again. Friends are reportedly worried about the pop star as she is residing in a messy mansion that is covered in dog poop.
Oh, God.
The singer is, quote, having an episode right now, and we are going to see her battle through it the way she has for years. This is according to an insider who's quoted in the Daily Mail. Another person from Spears' family said they are worried about the Grammy winner, adding that she is not doing well at all.
She hasn't exactly exuded stability ever since she was
given
freedom of her Instagram.
You have the right to live your own life, do you not?
Yes, you do. And if you want to live in a mansion that's filled with dog poop, that's up to you. Birthdays today. Pink is 46. Bernie Sanders is 84. We got to run. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.